Welcome to the Victory Lane podcast. Today's episode has a very special feature. I have an interview with a number of members of VSCDA that was done in a live feed from their very recent event at Black Hawk Farms. Well, you can tell from their candor and excitement, it was obviously a very good event, and they very generously spent their time online with me to discuss, hopefully, so some of the listeners here can gain from their experience what it takes to run a successful race event. Anyway, without further ado, let's jump in and see what they had to say. Hope you enjoy today's episode. I can hear cars in the background.
In the background, but hopefully not too loud.
No, it's good.
I'm Alex Rourke, president of VSCDA, and I'd like to begin with thanking Victory Lane for the great support they've given to Vintage Racing and to us and to the event that we have this weekend. We're assembled really because with COVID-19, it wasn't really quite clear if we'd be able to have a race this weekend, which is our traditional Father's Day weekend. Thanks to tremendous effort, particularly from Ron and Stacy, with a lot of help from Jim and from Scott, we've pulled it off and it's turned into a spectacular weekend. And we're delighted that you're willing to talk with us and let us share the excitement from the track with you.
So who else is here?
Hi, I'm Ron Suave. I'm the event co-chair along with Jeff Perasik for the Black Hawk Vintage Classic and our October Black Hawktoberfest event.
Hi, I'm Stacy Donato. I am the office manager for the Vintage Sports Car Drivers Association and the head registrar when we hit the track.
Hi there. I am Scott Reith. I'm the technical director for the Vintage Sports Car Drivers Association.
And I'm Jim Donato, the vice president of the VSCDA and head of driver's committee.
Yep. We debated whether your name had a hard or a soft C in front. So I'm not sure who won.
Well, if you have my name, you have to be flexible about that. Otherwise, you're going to spend the rest of your life explaining pronunciation to people, which is tiring. So,
as a person with five letters and three syllables in his last name, I can relate. Thank you.
So, yeah, yes. And yours could be either French or Italian, but I've read enough of Stacy's posts to know that you're Sicilian, so.
Yeah, I'm half Sicilian, half Piedmontese, and which is why the food has to be good, or I'm in trouble. my mother has in Italy what the Italian kids know as the polenta spoon, and I was joking with Stacy, I had a friend that her mother had a mobile version that hung from a cigarette lighter, and if you misbehaved, the spoon came out. So we tried to feed everybody as best we could.
Right. Well, we're gonna edit the corporal punishment part out. We won't publish that.
How do you think we got all the drivers to behave?
Yeah, right.
If you look at my Facebook page last year, one of our favorite Midwestern Council people, Lynn Sarah, she called me one of my. I have a file. I had over 200 texts about this event, and one of them came from Lynn, who's normally on everything, and she said, "Are you in charge of the costume party?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And she's like, "Oh, ha ha, you aren't going to tell me." I said, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "We heard that you're in charge of a costume party to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the Blues Brothers movie."
Aww.
Which, I got to tell you, I'm the only person on the planet. I've never even seen the movie, let alone thrown a celebration party for it. So she showed up dressed yesterday in full nun's garb as Sister Mary Stigmata. And there were some good pictures of her hitting me with her ruler. So it was good stuff.
Well, it sounds like a success on all fronts. I heard Scott went first to last, and Alex won a heat.
Actually, that was Ron that went first to last. Scott,
oh,
Scott was
Ron,
in Jack.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, that was classic because my wife had the walkie-talkie, and we had to bump start my car, and we had to find somebody to tow it with a tow rope. So the field was about three quarters of the way around, when I got the car started, and I pulled into pit row and the pit lane, and over the radio, the grid said, should we hold them back? And the tower said, oh no, we want to watch this. And they let me, they let me out.
Yeah. So that, in other words, you did recreate a scene for the Blues Brothers chasing through.
There you go.
All right.
Actually, under my helmet, I was smoking in the band that I kept saying under my helmet, can't these people see I'm in pursuit?
All we needed was a big speaker on the front of his car.
There we go. Exactly. Ron, why don't you jump in and give us a rundown on some of the goals that you guys had for the weekend and how things worked out there.
Sure. Jeff Borasik and I, our co-chair, we actually tried to be a little bit ahead of the curve and started thinking about the possible impacts to the event, from the pandemic back in March, early March. And we sort of had a plan A, plan B, plan C, you know, what if, various configurations of the event from the typical 3-day event that we do to a 2-day event with possibly a driver's school, depending on how that panned out. And we then just started to think of the challenges from the moment people set out from far away. I had a wonderful chat last night with one of the V driver's wives that drive from Texas. 16 of them came to join us for this event, and they say this is now their favorite vintage event, and they will never miss it. So we had to really think about how we could accommodate folks from out of town, really not knowing anything as to what the state of the regulations were going to be. We thought about people traveling and then just mapping out, literally looking at a track map and working from registration on in. We realized right away that using the traditional registration hut at Black Hawk Farms, no matter what the situation, was just not going to be viable. So, I said, Stacy, can you give us a process map of how you do registration? You know, we're looking at different ways. And Stacy immediately shot back and said, I've got a drive-through registration. It's going to be touch-free, cash-free. Everybody's done. I said, can you send me that? And we'll dry run it. And she sent it. And I looked at it and said, no, this is perfect. So we had registration covered. And then we talked about tech and how we could do that. And we had a couple of coordination calls with everyone on the team, including the management of Black Hawk Farms, as to how we could safely and legally pull this off. And the biggest variable, you know, as with all things in life, was human behavior and how folks would respond to the restrictions that were in place. Our expectations, honestly, last year we had 192 entrants, Stacy, I believe, which was a record not just for the club, but for Black Hawk Farms Raceway, including all their SCCA events. I would have been happy with a third of that, and I think we came in around half, so nearly 100 entries. So that was just wonderful. When people we expected to be here weren't, people we didn't expect were. It's kind of like when you invite 200 people to a wedding. Our hope was really to be able to do some of the normal things that we do. Most importantly, to have our track experience be as good as it always is. And really, Alex gives me far too much credit. Stacy did an incredible job planning everything out, thinking of everything. Alex was incredibly supportive along with Jim, and Scott has just been a calming influence. Our first couple of hours here at the track were a little bit chaotic, and not from any of our doing, but Scott was just a calming influence and kept everybody just thoroughly in the zone. So inside the gate, outside the gate, Dave did a great job. Inside the gate, Scott did a great job. And basically, once the first green flag was thrown, I didn't do very much more than just race. So everybody did a great job.
Could Stacy talk a little bit about what she did?
Basically, my job is to, first of all, make sure that all the drivers are supposed to be on the track physically. And their car numbers don't clash. They're in the right group. Scott helps me a lot with that. But to make them feel at ease and make them happy when they hit the track. I was able to take the entire process and have it all preloaded, which means everybody had to send me everything ahead of time. And that was a learning process. We had to pretty much go back to third grade for that. but they were able to eventually, with a lot of reminders, realize that I was not going to give up and that they had to provide that data. And they did eventually. And I think once they got to the track, they figured it out. It was my job to be their first touch of safety, and they had to follow that 6-foot protocol. So we had them right there at the gate say, you got to stay 6 feet apart. We're going to take your temperature. We're going to give you something that we've never given you before. Everything you need is inside there. I'm going to wave and you're going to go by. And they started figuring out that COVID-19 was very serious at Blackhawk. So I had a great team behind me. Alex supported me 100%. My daughter is a nurse, and Sharon Fry is a doctor, one of our racers. We all met. We all worked together. We all made sure that we could keep all of those drivers safe, not only on the track, but off the track. And everyone was provided PPE that was working, and everyone that was racing was provided a mask, a guideline, and a follow-through process for everything to be touch-free.
Perhaps some of the lessons learned there will carry over to the way you register people going forward. Sounds like it was a very streamlined and effective process.
Once they caught on, very well, yes.
Just to add a little bit to it, Keelik, we also did an online driver's meeting. Gary Snyder, our chief steward, covered the flagging. I covered the generalities of the event and some of the peculiarities of Blackhawk. It was very, very well received. There was an entire online discussion about whether drivers' meetings were worth anything. And I will tell you that yesterday I had 19 texts from people with questions that were answered in the online drivers' meeting. So we're certainly going to continue that as a baseline with supplemental things as needed. But the online drivers' meeting, some drivers said they were able to repeat areas where listen to areas repeat that they were a little bit fuzzy on, and they thought it was in a lot of ways more effective than our in-person one. So that was another element that we added to prevent the gatherings that are normally at the track.
What platform did you use for the driver's meeting?
We used YouTube. We used a YouTube video. Next year, I think we're going to we'll put it front and center on the website. There's a big gigantic button, so you can't help but watch the online driver's meeting. With a little bit more of a tracking mechanism also to make sure everybody's seen it that needs to see it. There's a lot of different elements we can incorporate. I think we struck a really nice baseline this year.
Yeah, that's great. Do you want to discuss some of the arrangements and modifications you did at Tech to streamline that?
Yes, this is Scott Reeve, Chief of Tech. What we did was we extended the annuals for 3 months over their normal time that they would have expired. That was to alleviate any lines that would occur at Tech. It allowed us to have the Tech forms filled out in advance to them coming to Tech. We also came up with a sticker that we could actually put in their logbook for the event rather than handle their book and sign things and stuff like that. The sticker worked quite well. We allowed only one crew member in the Tech barn per car, if we did have the Tech cars. The Tech crew was very good in wearing all the face shields and PPE that we were given. And I made sure that anybody that walked into the Tech barn was also going to abide by the rules and regulations that were set here, so that it was very clear that if you came in, you would have a mask on, period. We're having this event with the idea that we're going to go ahead and maintain the CDC regulations. So that we could have another. I think it went pretty smooth. I didn't hear any complaints. In fact, I've heard many good comments over the weekend. And I can see moving forward that a lot of these new ways are going to have to be carried forward for sure. So from my standpoint, I think things went quite smooth.
Alex?
I was just going to say that, with all that went into the formula for at Road America for our event, the Elf there, a lot was done for that one to find ways to streamline processes so you wouldn't have a choke point of suddenly having 200 drivers driving at the same meeting from all around the planet. And we were able to streamline things and make it simpler when we got positive feedback for that. In this case, we'd learned we could manage something of that nature. And then really, between Ron and Stacy and Scott, and with some input from Jim, we were able to take that, you know, almost like the beginning to develop how to do things differently to the next level here, where rather than worrying about a choke point where people got annoyed because they had to wait, here we have a choke point where people could be exposed incorrectly to something, or we could have really the folks from the governmental side shut us down. So what they did is that they took the next step, which makes everything really easier for everybody, and it's worked remarkably well.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's worked very, very effectively. So we've talked about the two of the three things that are high contact at a race event, which is check-in and tech. The other thing is generally very high contact is the social aspect. And many people tell me, you know, 50 to 70% of their weekend is the social aspect. So maybe you want to address how you handled that. Obviously, you had to modify that part of the event.
Well, this is Ron again. I can tell you that we the track management was great at having personnel kind of policing the grounds. We did make it clear that at times people are just a little bit unconscious, and not to slap wrists too hard, but wrists were slapped every single time, including having people paddock too closely. The track management made sure people were just spreading out because we have the room. People were great about, you know, sitting around the campfire 6 to 10 feet apart, which was really good. We're kind of famous for our food here at this event, and we had the same company provide box lunches. Everybody basically came in, you know, one at a time, socially distanced in line. We had markings on the pavement, sterilized their hands, dropped their dinner ticket in the box, went and got their dinner and got out. So dinner normally takes an hour to serve. I think we were about 15 minutes. We were done. So you know, that was people generally did the right things. And what was kind of neat to see was people helping people and reminding them, you know, we're a club and we're all in this together. So it sort of self-policed once we were inside the gates.
That sounds like it was pretty effective and mostly handled on a very friendly basis, which is a good thing. Anybody have anything to add at this point? Something they thought was important or made the weekend especially good?
Yeah, this is Jim. You know, one thing that I did driver's committee this weekend, which is another high contact thing, and working with Gary Schneider and the team there, you know, we set up a separate room where if a driver had an incident, we had tables and they could be at opposite ends of the tables. Stacy had plenty of ink pens, so it was, here's a form and an ink pen, keep the ink pen, fill the form out, and our theory was, you know, take a picture of it with your phone and then text it to me. I don't have to have the actual physical hard copy of it. If you're comfortable leaving it, you know, we'll pick it up and envelope it and then wait a few days and have it, but we can assess the driver's incident via that way, you know, so we also had some reduced contact than we normally do. And I think that from an overall standpoint of how everybody was a little cautious, I was amazed that we only had one minor incident, which everybody continued to race. We just had a little tire rub as far as incident. So from a driver's committee standpoint or a driver's conduct standpoint, even the driver's conduct was outstanding. And I think that, you know, the heightened awareness of COVID and what everything was going through and all the non-contact and the seriousness of it maybe even brought that driving ability and driving awareness to mind to be more courteous to other drivers. It was amazing that, you know, we'd go out the whole weekend and have nothing other than just a little rub.
We've got two more races to go, but so far we're right.
The racing has been pretty good, I understand. Alex was telling me a little bit earlier about his own experiences, but the on-track part of the event has been very good.
I have one more management detail. Because we controlled who was on the track, I have contact information for every individual that was there for any contact tracing in case we would have a case of COVID, and they can be contacted. So we did an administrative part as well to keep everyone safe.
Well, I was just going to say, as far as the on track, you know, it's the usual. People are just, and like Jim said, the safe racing is, has even made it that much better, but everyone seems to be having the usual time, you know. Alex personally had a great weekend. I had the single most fun I've had on the track in 18 years in our feature race. It's just, it's been terrific. And the thing I can tell you is, we were talking about the social aspect of it. I'd be getting texts from people at 11 o'clock at night saying there's a group here that looks like they're not social distancing. You know, we went over and talked to them. So they were helping me out and letting us know it. And, I don't think I've ever gotten more genuine, sincere words of thanks and appreciation than, you know, Jeff and I and the rest of the crew got for this weekend. People were coming up and just saying, you know, I can't imagine what you guys went through to put this on. And, you know, just as a side note, the conversations with the Illinois Department of Motorsports, They, as of June 1st, had shut down racing in Illinois, period. And we had to explain to them what road racing is versus stock car racing at Joliet Speedway, you know, and that we're on hundreds of acres, and this is more like a national park than it is a grandstand. But, you know, Paul Michaud, the track owner, did a great job of actually documenting conversations, getting them in front of attorneys and getting true legal answers. Because, you know, whenever at work we hire an HR person, I always say you have three goals. Number one is keep me out of jail. Number two is keep me competitive. And number three is keep me happy, because I can't be happy unless I'm competitive, and I can't be competitive if I'm in jail, you know, and did it the same way. And, you know, I think every conversation, Alex, you and I had, Alex said, are we sure their attorneys have looked at this? And, you know, yes, we did get that confirmation. So, a lot really went into doing this. And, you know, it's our first one, and you know, we all hope it's the last time. But like I said, we picked up so many improvements for our baseline. It's only going to get better and better.
I'm pleased to hear that, you know, the track is a partner for you. That's the way forward, I think.
Alex, anything to add?
The state was willing to work with us too, so that was great that happened. All three, from VSCDA, the track, and the state. I did want to go back to one point that Jim was making, but. You know, this is really the first race weekend for many of the folks here, the overwhelming majority. And usually people are kind of rusty and you have all kinds of really stupid accidents happen. And I think it's really to the credit of the way this has been handled seriously and put together and to our membership that the driving has been superb. It really has. And it's not where you know, luckily Jim had a boring job as heading the driver's committee because almost nothing so far has happened. And it's, I think it says great things about vintage racing and the folks we have here.
Sounds good. You certainly don't want to have an active protest room. That's no fun for anybody. And congratulations on a great race weekend.
Thank you.
Yeah, the only last thing I would say, Alex, is let's be sure that if you didn't in the beginning, is to thank everybody that traveled the distance to come to the event. We had a lot of Formula V's come out of Texas and guys from Ohio, and they literally traveled California. I mean, they took Colorado. I mean, we really
Nevada.
Had Nevada. We had a big group, of travelers who put their.
So you had cars there from as far away as California?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And they've raced with us, and the group out of Texas, Formula V's, Bigger Hammer Racing, they've raced with us the first time, and they had such a good time. We've gotten them back now a couple times, so we appreciate their faith and trust that they put in us to pull this off and have everybody be safe also.
Yeah, well, that's confidence. It's a heck of a tow from Texas to where you guys are. So
yeah, Texas, Colorado, California, Ohio, and I'm sure I've missed. I know Kentucky. Alex's friend was up from Louisville.
The Delaware people.
Hey guys, I got to drop off. Thank you so much, and thanks everybody. Great job.
Bye,
enjoy
Ron.
The rest of Father's Day, all. Thanks, guys. Bye bye.
Bye. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. So there you have it. Trackside live with a roundup of the weekend and how things went and a little bit of insight into the work and preparation that was necessary to pull it off, given the current health situation and politics in the United States. Sounds like a great weekend, and I really appreciate them taking the time out of their event to speak with us and to present to you what it took. Anyway, that's it for this episode. Yeah, I hope to see you. Well, maybe not see you. I hope to talk to you in the next one. This has been Kelly Colbert. Take care. Bye.